majority of the council here. I'd like to welcome everybody to St. George and this meeting of the Post Council, and thank Dixie State University for providing our lunch and meeting room today. We have some new members of the council and new legal representative. I'll have Director Stevenson make those introductions.
Thank you. Lana Taylor has moved on. She was promoted. I can't remember the exact position. Chief, do you know the exact position she's been promoted to? Chief Wallentine?
Chief over prosecution.
She's the section chief over something.
The special prosecutor.
I think it's the special prosecution or it's the criminal prosecution team.
I think it's special prosecution.
I like something. The chief of something.
I'm just thinking.
Special prosecution.
Okay. But our new AG rep is Kevin Bolander. He'll be representing you guys during these proceedings. And then we also have, if you can stand up, Mary Kay, Sergeant Mary Kay Lucas, who's a new investigator with Post. And we have a new council member, Christy Warren. She's filling one of the at-large positions and a member of the FOP.
Thank you, Director. Before we go too much farther, Wade, I just wanted to tell you that we missed you last night at the banquet.
Right here, sir.
And it became even more apparent how much we missed you when we drew your name for one of the guns that we gave away last night. You weren't there to claim it, so next time, stick around. Okay. All right. Each of us have a copy of the minutes. Anybody have any changes to make?
We have one change. I have the wrong county on Kerry Gibson. It's actually Weaver County and not Wayne.
Okay. Anybody else have any changes to the minutes? Accept the motion to accept.
Someone.
We have a second.
Second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Excellent. Okay, Wade, turn the time back over to you for the Satellite Academy reports.
For the benefit of the few new faces on the council, I'd just like to take a moment and explain the audit process and the reason why we do what we do. The audit process is in place so we're able to go out to the satellite academies and provide, not only making sure that they follow the Post policies and procedures, but as well as teaching the curriculum, but to give a formal one-on-one with the satellite academies so they can, if there's any issues or concerns that they have, that's our time with just that satellite academy alone to be able to work through those and deal with those. So what we do is we look at the way that they store their records, making sure that they follow the application process properly, those type of things. We observe training. We watch how they do their scenario training and those type of things. One of the things that we just recently transitioned to was a new testing system in the ACADIS. And so for these last two satellite audits, I kind of worked through a few issues with Salt Lake City as well as the corrections. And that's kind of been our focus for this last quarter's satellite audits. So the two satellite audits that we did perform were Salt Lake City Police Department along with Department of Corrections, and there were no issues found when we performed those audits. Would like to just open up for an opportunity for any questions regarding the satellite audits and what goes on there and how we conduct those. Okay, seeing none, thank you. That was it.
Thanks.
Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Wade. Next will be the annual report by Deputy Director Sparks.
Thank you, Chairman Keefe. Council members, Director Stevenson just wanted me to give you a brief summary of the activities for Post during the 2012 calendar year. I'll start with the Media Services section. Media Services, which is under the supervision of John Jacobs, had a significant increase in the number of live webinar training programs which were delivered in 2012. Over 313 peace officers and 290 dispatchers participated in these live training webinars over the internet. The media services sections also continued their efforts to connect officers and agencies to the post portal. Currently, we have about 69% of all officers in the state who have active post portal accounts, and about 81% of all agencies in the state have active agency portal accounts. Access to the post portal allows the agencies and the individuals to view their own training records, register for in-service training programs, and access online programs. One of the largest uses of these online services during the past year was for a renewal of intoxilizer and radar certifications, and over 950 officers viewed that training and completed testing over the website for those items. The training section, under direction of Lieutenant Wade Buehrer, the training section conducted 77 in-service training programs on 18 separate topics during 2012, and those sessions were attended by 1,677 officers. There were 5 basic training academy sessions conducted at post, and 91 individuals were certified as law enforcement officers. The total number of new peace officer certifications which were issued by post in 2012, which includes training at post, at the Utah Department of Corrections, and all of the other satellite academies combined, is 376 special functions officer certifications, 487 correctional officer certifications, and 393 law enforcement officer certifications. I should keep in mind that many of those certifications are dual. Many officers got SFO and LEO at the same time, so they would be included in both of those figures. And for the investigations section, which is commanded by Lieutenant Al Acosta, in 2012, the investigation sections received 152 complaints of peace officer misconduct. Of those 152 complaints, 93 investigations were opened. And in 2012, the investigation section presented 40 cases to the Post Council for possible sanction. Of those 40 cases, resulted in the council revoking the certification of 7 peace officers, suspending the certification of another 27 officers, and the council also issued 6 letters of caution. 8 of those 40 cases that were presented to the Post Council in 2012 were primary alcohol-related offenses. 4 other cases had alcohol as a secondary contributor in those cases. 3 cases were primary prescription drug offenses, and 2 cases involved other controlled substances. The most frequent cause for peace officer discipline in 2012 were DUI, driving under the influence, with 7 cases. Domestic violence assault with 6 cases, lying under Garrity, 6 cases, disorderly conduct, 5 cases, domestic violence in the presence of a child, 4 cases, possession of a controlled substance with 3 cases. The post-investigation section also conducted 872 background reviews on applicants for basic peace officer training, both at post and at all of the satellite academies. I know that's a lot of numbers all at once. We will have those numbers included in the minutes for this meeting so that you can review them later, but are there any questions concerning that report? Thank you.
Thank you, Deputy Director Sparks. Next we'll hear from Lieutenant Al Acosta, update on the consent and waiver forms.
Thank you, Chief Keefe, ladies and gentlemen. As you've noticed in the past, when we sent you a notice of agency action, attached to that was normally a consent agreement where the officer would review it and sign it. There were some issues that arose in a council meeting, and Ms. Taylor at the time felt that it was more important to readdress that consent agreement and created a hearing waiver. Because in reality, that's what the consent agreement was. It was actually a waiver of the hearing process. So we have changed it, and you're going to notice in some of your packets, or you have noticed, is that some still have consent agreements. These are some of the older cases that we've sent out to the officers. and some of them have the hearing waiver, and they're both in essence the same document. They just waive their right to a hearing, and they decided to have it brought before the council for their disciplinary action. So that's what that is. Any other questions or any questions at all? Good, because that's all I studied for.
Thanks, Lieutenant Acosta. All right. There's been a collective sigh of relief throughout the state, and that's because the legislature's over. So we'll next hear from Director Stevenson on an update of their activities.
Thank you, Chair, Council. Just give you an update on some of the bills that involved POST. House Bill 213, which was sponsored by Representative Greenwood, made it so that an officer is required to carry a firearm. So in other words, if they are restricted under federal or state law and they're not eligible to possess a firearm in their personal life, then they could not be eligible to be an officer. I see some weird looks. There's a federal exception to this law. The federal exception is that it allows the federal government, state government, and its political subdivisions to be able to have officers carry weapons while they're in the function of their duties. Chief Valentine, please correct me if I'm wrong or step in.
It's a goofy little exception, but it's there.
It is. So we felt compelled that if somebody is going to enter the profession, they be required to be able to possess and carry a firearm. We just put that in law. Any questions about that? Any concerns? Seeing none. Next one is Senate Bill 215. This changes the age requirement for somebody to be admitted into the academy. Before, there was some confusion in the law, and some places may have contradicted itself as to what the actual age is to enter training in the police academy. Some would say 21, some would say 21 at the time of appointment. And the confusion was, what is appointment? So this law was just created or added to kind of clarify what is the actual age. Well, that now the actual age is 21 years old at the time you take the special functions certification, which is essentially four and a half weeks into the academy. Certified, once they're certified, then they can apply for positions within law enforcement, which would still require them to be 21. So we were okay with that minor change, but I think it clarifies it more so than previous statute. Any questions about that? Okay. All right. Getting into the disciplinary portion of it. First case involves Daniel J. Cotter, who was a reserve officer with Perry City PD. The offense is bribery or offering a bribe to a peace officer, which is a Category A on our guidelines. We recommend a revocation, and this was under order of default. I'll give you a brief synopsis if you desire. On August 27, 2011, a friend of Daniel Cotter was arrested for driving under the influence of alcohol. On September 7, 2011, Cotter contacted the arresting officer and offered him a bribe of $1,000 to not appear at the driver's license hearing. Cotter asked the officer to find out the results of his friend's blood alcohol test. The officer informed Cotter the blood results were a .10. Cotter then offered the officer $2,500. A state agency was advised of the bribe and set up the meeting with the assistance of the officer. On September 13, 2011, Cotter agreed to meet with the officer at a gas station to give him the money. The money was exchanged, and the investigators covertly observed Cotter giving the officer $2,000. He was stopped shortly after that exchange and arrested.
Director, the facts indicate that November 13th of 2012, you were scheduled for a court hearing. Has that been adjudicated?
I'm not sure.
Pled guilty, felony 3, I believe.
Pled guilty.
Thank you. Right, is Mr. Cotter or a representative here today to speak to this? All right, bring it back to the council.
Motion to revoke.
We have a motion to revoke. Do we have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Next case involves Cameron G. Carter, Utah Highway Patrol, and the offense is a BCI violation of falsification of alteration and alteration of government records, which is a Category D on our guidelines. We're recommending a 2-year suspension or under order of default. On October 5th, 2011, Mr. Carter's supervisor became aware Carter had claimed 44 vehicle stops during 1 month period, which he could not confirm. During an internal VARIS investigation, a Garrity interview, Carter admitted he intentionally accessed and used driver's license information maintained by the Bureau of Criminal Identification in order to fabricate vehicle traffic stops. Carter admitted he had made false entries to the UHP electronic citation system to create fictitious warning citations. Carter said he did this to bolster his performance statistics. We made multiple attempts to contact Carter for an interview, but he failed to respond to our calls.
Okay, is Mr. Carter a legal representative here today? Any questions of the director from council? And we'll bring the matter back. We have a motion.
Except for 2 years.
Okay, we have a motion to accept the 2 years. Second, Robbie, thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Director, thank you.
Next case involves Troy Anderson, formerly with Salt Lake City PD. The offense is DUI, which is a Category D. We're recommending an 18-month suspension. Mr. Anderson signed a waiver. On March 29, 2012, about 10 p.m., Mr. Anderson and a friend drove to a local bar and consumed a few beers. About an hour later, they drove to another local bar where they continued drinking into the early morning hours of March 30th, 2012. After leaving the bar, Anderson drove his friend home, then continued towards his home. Anderson was stopped by a police officer for speeding. Mr. Anderson submitted a field sobriety test and was subsequently arrested. The BRAC was a .177. Mr. Anderson pled guilty to DUI. That's all I have.
Do you have any questions for Director Stevenson? Mr. Anderson, I see you're here and you have Mr. Rosen, your counsel.
I'm not the most elegant speaker, but I'll try to keep this brief. I drove down here from Salt Lake City today to address the council, and I appreciate the opportunity to do so. I didn't come down here to make any excuses for my actions. I take full responsibility for my actions that night. As we all know, alcohol impairs judgment, and clearly that was the case for me. It was completely out of character for me. Again, I take full responsibility for that. I'm sorry, I'm more remorseful and regretful. I took an oath to uphold the laws and protect the citizens of this state and not violate those laws and endanger those lives. There's not a day that goes by that I don't think about that and make a conscious effort to be a better person, a better father, brother, son, and most importantly, law-abiding citizen of the state. Anytime you make a decision, there's consequences, pro and con, and I'm living those consequences every single day. I've stayed gainfully employed throughout this, and every day I go to work, I work for a friend of mine who does contracting and security stuff, and every day I go to work, I realize how much this is in my blood, how much I love being a police officer, and that, you know, if you enjoy your work, you never work a day in your life. And my grandfather was a firefighter for 31 years. My father was a firefighter for 30 years. I've been a police officer for 16, and it is, in fact, in my blood, and I do it because I love it. And I look back at that day, and if there's a silver lining to it, it's that there was no property damage done, there was no individuals hurt, and thank God no one else killed. My actions have fallen square on my shoulders, and I take full responsibility for that. I'm doing everything I can every single day to try to get home. And by home, I mean pinning that Salt Lake City badge back on my chest and putting that uniform on and serving it in an honorable manner instead of discrediting it and dishonoring it the way I have. I thank you for giving me a few minutes of your time, and I appreciate it.
Mr. Chairman, ladies and gentlemen of the council, I've passed out some materials to assist you in this decision. We are asking for a variance to 12 months from the 18 months that the division is requesting. The materials that we passed out, just briefly, one is a letter from Chief Burbank, and I'll just remark on the last portion of the first paragraph. It's my understanding that Troy has been involved in counseling sessions regarding alcohol abuse and is working to address his personal issues. And then also, with the successful completion of counseling and the designated suspension period, I would consider Troy for reemployment with the police department and wish him well in working toward that end. I want to point out that there never was a diagnosis of alcoholism in this case. Despite that fact, Mr. Anderson, and you'll see in the third document, which is a letter from a licensed professional counselor, where she indicates that he did voluntarily enter into a program of treatment with her, voluntarily entered into group therapy, despite the fact that there was no diagnosis of alcoholism. The court did order the Insight Counseling Center participation. He did complete those. Those certificates are towards the back of the packet. And then the chart, briefly, I want to explain the chart. The chart is for your benefit. Other decisions that the council has made over the past couple of years. On the last page, it says that the DUI suspension average is 15 months. The DUI suspension mode is 12 months. Approximately half of these 23 cases, it was a 12-month suspension. On the bottom of the second, it's an officer initials November Mike. I believe it's the bottom of the first or the second page. It may bleed over. This was a DUI with a slightly higher BAC. The aggravator was an accident. There was no accident in Mr. Anderson's case. Also, Officer Sierra Charlie, the next case, also an aggravator of an accident with a very similar BAC. We provide that for your benefit. We would ask that what you do here today is consistent with what you've done in the past in that regard. And I thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Rosen. Anything else, Mr. Anderson?
No, sir.
All right. Director Stevenson.
The reason why we are asking for an 18-month, which is a deviation from the baseline, is because it's double the legal limit. If you look at a lot of those cases, that's the reason why for the increased sanction from the baseline, is the double legal limit. But I might add that Mr. Anderson has been very cooperative and very honest throughout the entire investigation with my staff, and that's why we came to that conclusion.
Okay, thank you, Director. Questions from Council?
I will be recusing myself from this action because Mr. Anderson does work for me, or did work for me. Let me just say, you have my letter in front of me. Sometimes the true measure of an individual is how they respond to adversity, and I've been very proud with the way Troy has accepted responsibility, both inside and outside of the police department. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief Burbank. Mr. Crowley?
I was just going to make a motion to accept the 1 year on the factor that he's got a letter from the chief and has acknowledged that he's done wrong.
So you want to change the post recommendation council from the 18 months to 1 year?
On the basis that his department is supporting him in this action.
Okay, we have a motion. Any other discussion or any questions for the director? Yes, Dr.
I have questions about, I believe your counsel indicated there was no diagnosis of alcoholism. That's not a diagnosis, alcoholism. It's not a proper diagnosis. So my question is, who is it that did this assessment that failed to diagnose or didn't diagnose?
The individual listed on the letter, which is the third document, her name is listed as Gail Sekula.
Right, you indicate, though, that she did not provide a diagnosis of alcoholism.
Yeah, there's no diagnosis of alcoholism.
She failed to do a treatment plan? That would be strange for a professional not to do a treatment plan.
I'm not sure I understand exactly the question.
Your counsel indicated that there was no diagnosis of alcoholism. Alcoholism is not a diagnosis. So therefore, my question is, there would be a diagnostic of alcohol abuse. There's a variety along a spectrum of those. So when someone sees a clinical therapist or psychologist, they're going to do a treatment plan. On that treatment plan, there would be an indication of what your diagnosis was with regard to alcohol use, abuse, dependency, and so forth. Did you receive a treatment plan?
No, she was one-on-one counseling with me. We did sessions, and through those sessions, we discussed. And one of the things that that I did, I attended some AA meetings, and what came out in our sessions is I said, you know, I'm sitting in a room full of people that, you know, are pouring beer on their Cheerios in the morning, and I don't feel like I fit in with these people. I really don't feel like I fit there. And what was discussed was the reason I feel that is because you're not alcohol dependent. You're not abusing alcohol in that way. Quite frankly, you screwed up. You made a mistake, and that's why you feel out of place. But as far as an actual assessment or testing process, there was not one done.
Okay. So you attended AA meetings. That's the term alcoholism or alcoholic that's used informally in those type of meetings.
Yeah, Alcohol Anonymous. Yeah.
Okay. Was this the first time that you'd consumed alcohol and driven a car?
Is it the first time?
Okay. Do you believe that you were drinking alcohol because you had emotional or mental health problems?
I was in an emotional state, yeah. I mean, quite frankly, I had three fellow officers in a week period over several years in a week period that have all passed away during that time. And again, not making any excuses. Again, it was poor judgment, but there was some emotions involved with that. Yes, it's not something that I go out and do weekly.
Right. I think that anytime someone's dealing with alcohol use or abuse, and they take responsibility, that's commendable, and I would respect that. I guess my question is that as an officer of the law, do you believe that you are emotionally able, or were you self-medicating? Do you currently use alcohol?
To your first point, no, I don't self-medicate. I've continued to see, her name is Gail, on occasion. I make a conscious effort to not self-medicate. And yeah, I do, I have Italian in my family, so I do drink wine with dinner, and I do have a beer once in a while. But I've made, again, every conscious effort in my body to be more responsible in that fact, and planning ahead, making sure that if I do go out and have a drink, that I have a ride or some means to get home. I make sure that, that I'm trying to be a law-abiding citizen and not ever make the mistake that I've made. There's not a single day that I don't think about it, everything from financially to physically to emotionally to, you can't even imagine how embarrassed and remorseful I am. I look around this room and I know trained, kick doors in with half the people in this room, and it's the most embarrassing thing in the world to stand here before men and women in law enforcement that I absolutely respect. And it will never happen again. There's not enough money in the world. I mean, I'm trying to put it behind me. I really am trying to, from this day forth, make better, more responsible choices and live a more responsible, law-abiding life, I guess.
Do you continue to see the counselor then, you said?
I don't see her weekly, and it's more now if sort of on my decision. If I feel, she basically has an open door for me. If I feel like I need to go talk to her, want to go talk to her, she has an open door, but I'm not seeing her on a consistent, regular basis at this point.
Any other questions for Mr. Rosin or Mr. Anderson or Director Stevenson? All right, we'll bring it back to the council. We have a motion on the floor to reject the recommendation of an 18-month suspension and amend it to a 12-month suspension. Do we have a second?
A second.
Who was first? Did you get that, John?
I got Ken.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Okay. One opposed. The motion carries. 12-month suspension.
His resignation, or is it starting out?
Date of separation, which was in July, I believe. Yeah, July 8th.
Did you get that, Mr. Rosin?
July 8th. My understanding was that the police power was on March 29th.
We go by date of separation.
Next matter.
Okay. Next case involves Aristio Tristan, formerly with Tooele County Sheriff's Office. Category D, DUI. We're asking for an 18-month suspension under signed waiver. On December 16, 2012, Mr. Tristan, a corrections officer with the Tooele County Sheriff's Office, was stopped for improper lane travel. Investigating officer detected the odor of alcohol and believed Tristan was possibly under the influence. After Tristan failed the SFSTs, it was determined he was under the influence and he was not safe to operate a vehicle. His BRAC was 0.17. There's also a letter from Sheriff Park stating that he supports Mr. Tristan and would definitely consider hiring him once everything was taken care of.
All right, is Mr. Tristan or legal representative here? Would you like to speak, sir?
My name is Aristotle Tristan, and I'm just here to say that I'm sorry for what I did. I'm just sorry. And I promise this will never happen again.
Sir?
And I'm asking for the least amount of time you can give me on the suspension. I've done everything that I met with a prosecutor. I went to court. She told me this is what I would need if I pled guilty. I did not plead guilty because I wanted to get legal representation. I got it. But all the things that the prosecutor told me that I would or that she would require for me to do if I did, or if I was found guilty. I've done already everything. I also went and I got an evaluation for just an alcohol evaluation, and they determined I don't have anything, that I have anxiety. So she recommended for me to meet with her once every 3 to 4 weeks, and I go there on my own. I was planning on pleading guilty when I went last month, but the attorney says not to because he really feels that we can win it. The only reason he says he stopped me was because I slightly swerved. And I do remember I was leaning over to grab a lighter for my friend that was on the passenger side. And that is when I did swerve a little, and that's why I got stopped. Other than that, I won't know what's going to happen till next month.
Great. Questions for Mr. Tristan?
You say that you met with someone and you have anxiety?
I went to have an alcohol evaluation paid by myself, and just to get everything done that the prosecutor was going to expect from me. And she just said I had anxiety, and the only reason she did say that was because it was a recommendation from the Valley Mental professional that works at our facility that has known me for the 8 years that I've worked there. And he says, the lady that did the assessment, she's like, whoa, are you pulling my leg? People usually come here to get out of doing all these things that you've already done, so you're throwing me for a loop. And she asked me if she can consult with John Burns, and she did, and John Burns suggested, because he's known me all these time, that I did have anxiety. So I meet with her on an individual basis. She recommended every 3 to 4 weeks, and I've gone to a session, and I should be going to another session next week.
You mean you were using alcohol to cope with anxiety?
No, no. To be honest with you, I did not even drink. You know, I just started drinking maybe 3 years ago.
Why did you start drinking?
And I don't mean, and I don't want to do anything bad or anything, but I went to a sheriff's convention in St. George, and some of my coworkers were like, here, drink. And I'm like, yeah, virgin Bloody Mary, virgin this, virgin that. And all of a sudden, one of them got me a, and I still remember it was a vodka Red Bull. And I just.
How about you were peer pressured by the sheriffs to drink?
No, it's I can make my own choices, so I decided to drink, but that's kind of where it was introduced to me.
So you don't believe that you were coping with anxiety through alcohol?
Mr. Chairman?
No, sir.
Yes.
I don't think so.
I'm going to make a motion that we suspend deliberation on this case and that the council go into closed session.
All right, we have a motion to suspend and move into executive session.
Second.
We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. For everybody other than members of the council, Director Stevenson, you can leave. Mr. Christian, you stay as well. All right. I'll call the council back into a session. We appreciate your patience. At this time, the chair will entertain a motion regarding this investigation. Chief Wallentine?
My motion that we remand this matter back to post staff and direct that the matter not come back to our attention until the conclusion of the criminal case.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Mr. Christen, this matter will be referred back to the post staff. They will report back to us at the conclusion of your criminal case, okay, at which time it will be rescheduled to be heard by the council again at a later date, of which you will be notified, sir.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Director Stevenson.
Okay. Next case. Ball Summer Knotts, not employed. DUI, which is category D. I'm recommending a 1 year suspension under signed waiver. On July 26, 2012, law enforcement was dispatched to an attempt to locate of a possible drunk driver. The vehicle was located and stopped for making an improper turn. The driver, Summer Knotts, failed her SFSTs and was placed under arrest, not submitted to a chemical breath test. Her BRAC was 0.077. On September 6, 2012, Knotts pled no contest to an amended charge of impaired driving, which is a Class B misdemeanor.
Questions of Director Stevenson? All right, is Ms. Knotts or legal representative here? Well, I'll bring it back to the council.
Make a motion that we accept the recommendation that she's suspended for 1 year.
Sure, thank you. Do we have a second?
Second.
Get that, Sean. All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, next candidate.
Next case involves Boone R. Thomas with Utah Department of Corrections. Charges retail theft, category D on our guidelines. Recommending a 1 year suspension. The waiver was also signed. On February 16, 2012, Mr. Thomas, a correctional officer with the Department of Corrections, was cited for retail theft. Thomas entered the store, picked up two jackets, and draped them over the handle of his cart. He then pushed the cart through the store to the mattress area, where he stopped briefly.
Thomas then pushed his cart to the other side of the store, picked up the jackets from the cart, and walked back to the mattresses. Once at the mattresses area, Thomas put one jacket on a stack of mattresses and put one on. Once the mattress was on the cart, Thomas proceeded to the checkout area while still wearing the jacket. He used the self-checkout option where he paid for the mattress, but did not pay for the jacket. When Thomas attempted to leave the store, he was confronted by a loss prevention officer. His explanation for not paying for the jacket was that he forgot to pay for it. He was detained, and the local police department arrived, and he was cited for retail theft.
Any questions for Director Stevenson? Is Mr. Thomas or legal representation for him here today? All right, bring it back to council. Oh, yes, sir. Mr. Haddon.
Just want to recuse myself as this is a staff member with the Department of Corrections.
All right. We have a motion.
I'd like a motion to accept the 1-year suspension.
Okay. We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Did he
pay for the gray one?
The gray
jacket. He put on the black one.
What
did
he do with the gray one? He left the gray one, just threw it on the mattress. A mattress that was stacked up in the store and then left with another mattress and the jacket.
All right, we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Director Stevenson.
Okay. Next case involves Matthew Hadley, Utah Department of Corrections. The charge is electronic communication harassment, which is a Category D on our guidelines. I'm recommending a 1-year suspension. Mr. Hadley also signed a waiver. On August 31st, 2012, Matthew Hadley, a cadet attending the Utah Department of Corrections Academy, submitted an amendment to his post application. The amendment stated, while working at a grocery store, sent multiple sexually explicit messages to several women that he worked with. These messages were not welcomed by the women, and the women asked him to stop sending the messages. Hadley continued to send these harassing messages to the women, which ultimately resulted in his termination from the grocery store.
Questions for Director Stevenson? Okay. Mr. Hadley, or counsel for Mr. Hadley here today? Bring it back to the council for a motion. Yes, Mr. Haddon.
Two in a row.
Got
Thank
it.
You, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to recuse myself again.
Yes, sir. Okay, do we have a motion?
Move to accept the 1-year suspension.
Second.
Second. Mm-hmm. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Director Stevenson.
Next case involves Ryan D. Nielsen, formerly with Unified PD. Charges intoxication, disorderly conduct, which is a Category E on our guidelines. I'm recommending a letter of caution. Mr. Nielsen also signed a waiver. On July 8, 2012, Ryan Nielsen was cited for intoxication and disorderly conduct. Nielsen became intoxicated while at his apartment. He had been experiencing emotional issues over a recent divorce, and in his intoxicated state, he began to throw items inside the apartment. Nielsen was yelling obscene words as he was breaking dishes and throwing things. His neighbors became concerned for his safety and notified the local police agency. Officers arrived and found Nielsen asleep in his bed. Nielsen's supervisor was notified and met the officers at his apartment. Supervisor determined Nielsen was not a threat to himself nor others and was allowed to stay in his apartment. And he was the only person in his apartment at the time of this episode.
Questions of the director?
Wife wasn't present. This is over the phone or something. Sure. So I'm confused. So when the police department entered his home, he was asleep?
Yes.
So how did they gain entrance to his home?
The door was unlocked. When he was throwing stuff outside of the apartment, apparently the lock back up, and so they were just able to walk right in. They knew who he was. They had dealt with him before. It was in law enforcement's field. They knew who it was they were going to go see.
What do you mean they dealt with him before?
As a police officer.
No. One more Just there's a Class C misdemeanor here of intoxication. When that's reduced to a
disorder.
So it was a Class C because they had dealt with him once before.
I don't believe that had anything to do with it. I believe because of the circumstances, he was there in the apartment. And no man being involved. He was he lived alone. He and his wife were divorced. And he had some issues over the children. He got angry. He said, I did. I grabbed some alcohol and I went to my apartment and I drank it. Got mad. The more I got mad, threw around, woke up some of my own stuff. And yelling at the neighbors who were in the apartment next door, heard that, heard the commotion stuff. Knowing him, they called local law enforcement to come down and see if he was okay. By then, he was already asleep. And stopped. So they had charged him with a Class C and then reduced it to disorderly.
Well, why did you say knowing him? Because knowing that he was a cop, they called the police, or knowing that he had problems before, or?
I'm not having interviewed them. My understanding from the report that I read is that they knew he was a police officer. They seen him going, come and go all the time. And because he was made on his back, they were just concerned about, they probably been concerned if he had been anybody else, I'm quite sure. But they called the police to come over and see what was going on. And local law enforcement arrived. There, the local law enforcement knew him as having dealt with him in the law enforcement field, them being police and him being police.
Was all the damage isolated to his property?
Yeah. They spent pictures and stuff on the stuff he broke up with in his own apartment. Did not get outside of that apartment. In fact, anybody else other than the fact that the noise was going on. The people that was made the complaint would share a wall with him, so it was easy for them to hear what was.
Tracy.
To be clear, that according to the report, he was initially charged with both disorderly and intoxication. The charge of disorderly was dismissed, mm-hmm. and the intoxication was dropped to an infraction.
Right.
I think we stated that a couple different ways. No one sure was clear.
We're looking at it as a Class C intoxication.
Any other questions for Director Stevenson, Mr. Nielsen, or his lawyer here today? Bring it back to the council for a motion.
We do a discussion.
Oh, sure. Go ahead, Chair.
Yeah, to me, this one, I'm not comfortable with a letter of caution on this one for a variety of reasons. Number one, he was criminally charged with Class C. What's the baseline for a Class C?
Baseline 6 months.
Yeah. I would make the motion that we reject the post recommendation and that we move to a 6 month suspension.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion by Sheriff Edmonds and a second by Chief Hamilton. Discussion on the motion? No? All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, let's do this by a show of hands. I think there's some nays. No, I guess my hearing is just not as good.
9-4.
9-4. Okay, motion carries. That's the last one. All right, items from the council. Any issues? Then the important task of scheduling our next meeting. Director Stevenson, when do we meet again?
Usually do it in June. How's the first week of June look? We have to stay away from Mondays, I believe. Somebody has a conflict on Mondays.
Tuesday is my conflict.
Okay, it's Tuesdays. What about June 3rd, Monday?
I usually have a conflict on that day.
Okay, what about the 5th, Wednesday? Okay.
Anybody have a conflict on June the 5th? Be it post?
Be it post.
Okay. 10 a.m.?
10 a.m.
All right. Well, that concludes the agenda today. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
Make a motion to adjourn.
Oh, okay. I was getting worried there. And we'll be adjourned until June. Thank you.